Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
The gospel of Jesus Christ changes everything. We pray that, in the days ahead, God would reveal His glory to us. As He does this, it will transform us individually and corporately as the body of Christ, with God glorifying gospel-based affections for Him, for one another, and for the lost. Please listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his first message in his Advent series entitled, Beholding the Glory of God.
Both God and the devil have an agenda. Both God and the devil have a kingdom. Both God and the devil have an image that they desire to conform you to. And those two agendas are in conflict with one another. Those two kingdoms are in conflict with one another. Those two images are in conflict with one another. You can't live in both kingdoms. No man can have two masters. Our precious Lord Jesus told us about this inevitable conflict that his people would have in the Gospel of John chapter 15 when he said, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept me my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." The very last message that our anti-Christ culture wants to hear is behold and declare the glory of God. But church, we will not be intimidated, nor will we be silenced. We will boldly proclaim this Christmas season the words that John the Baptist declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see, Christmas is a message of redemption. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not one of many ways that people come to God. Jesus is the one and only God-appointed sacrifice for the sins of all who repent of their sin and believe in Him. Jesus put it this way, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you don't believe that, you call him a liar and you're lost. So we need a change, don't we? We want to see a change, don't we? I want to see a change. And to change what we become as an individual or as a nation or even as a church requires a change in what we behold. And the one and only way that we change from what we are presently to what God created and intended us to become is by beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." You see, beloved, we will reflect what we behold. And as you and I behold the glory of the Lord, we will be continually transformed into the image of Jesus Christ by the Spirit of the Lord. And then, with ever-increasing glory, we are called to reflect Christ in a world that does not know Him, in a world that is lost, in a world that is looking for answers. 2 Corinthians 4:6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And just as God commanded the light to shine out of darkness at creation with the power of His voice there in Genesis 1:3, so He commands the gospel to shine in the hearts of you and I, His people, with the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, because Christ is the answer for the needs of our society. In the book of Psalms, chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, we read, "The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Creation, Christmas, the glory of God. They all are that one message to magnify the power, wisdom, and the glory of our Creator. The psalmist begins with the works of creation. According to Psalm 19, the very reason that God created this vast universe, it is pretty vast, isn't it? Is in order that mankind might behold the glory of God and magnify him, not man. You've never seen, or if you've seen the videos of those who climb Mount Everest, or when someone landed on the moon, you don't climb Mount Everest to look in a mirror. You don't land on the moon and then just go, wow, aren't I something else? When the natural eye looks at the vastness of creation, it is meant to tell our souls that what we see is pointing us to a Creator who is glorious in splendor and majesty and beauty. You see, creation owes its existence to the triune Creator God of Genesis 1:1, not Mother Nature. And Jesus, in John 1:3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Psalm 19, 1 and 2 is one of the clearest biblical statements that nature is meant to show the greatness and the glory of God. And the tense of the Hebrew words is in the present. In other words, continually, right now, creation is declaring the glory of God. No matter where you are on this planet, creation is sending a message of the glory of God. Creation is an unending message of God's glory to our planet, to you and to me this morning. It's a continual display of his splendor, a continual display of his majesty. And what we see in nature is meant to constantly show us that God exists, that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made, and how glorious he is. I think of the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one fails. What an awesome passage. As we observe the visible heavens, so vast, so spacious, adorned with stars and planets and solar systems that are in their courses and rotations, it's all the glory of God. Universe, the universe declares the glory of God. And observations of design in nature are best explained by a deliberate, intelligent act of creation rather than by randomness or luck, which is why our secular, godless culture viciously attacks the Genesis account of creation. And when a society attacks divine design, destruction and depravity are the inevitable consequences. The deepest need of image bearers of God is to behold and embrace the glory of God. But the scripture tells us that if we do not behold and embrace and enjoy the glory of God, by default, we are inevitably going to choose to behold and embrace and enjoy other things and reap the inevitable consequences. We see that happening. It's happened from the fall, and it's happening in our very midst. Let me give you one contemporary example of this in our society that really needs little or more or no comment. When Jesus was questioned about the issue of marriage and divorce, he said in Mark 10, verses 6 through 8, But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more two, but one flesh. I want you to notice here that the Lord Jesus quotes the Genesis account verbatim. It's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. He said that God created them male and female. He calls a male a male, calls a female, and there is no third gender. When you were born either a male or a female. And he declared that God's design for marriage is between a male and a female, for only a male and a female coming together intimately in the covenant of marriage are able to biologically reproduce and have children. Correct? So the message that God's design for marriage is a heterosexual union with a man and a woman, but that's not politically correct in today's society. And the reason why is found in these sobering words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own bodies to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. The reason why our society is as disordered and dysfunctional as it is because we have exchanged the glory of God for other things. The psalmist wrote in chapter 4, verse 2, O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing or lies, worthless things, Selah. God is saying that to this planet. How long will you believe a lie? How long will you turn my glory into shame? How long? As I said a moment ago, the deepest need within every human soul is to behold and enjoy the glory of God. And Scripture tells us that if we do not behold and enjoy the glory of God, we will inevitably choose to behold and give glory or value to other things. But in the process, we will reap and are reaping as a society the inevitable consequences of making that choice. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he or she or society reap. And so here we are this morning, December 5th, 2021. Living in very, very difficult times. But we're here for a purpose. And we've got news that the world needs to hear. And let me tell you, and when I say that, I'm there's four fingers pointing at me. When the devil's agenda is to constantly seek to draw our attention and our affections away from the beauty and glory of God and get hung up on or attached to other things. We've been redeemed from this present godless, evil, wicked world system. Remember that when the devil sought to detour Jesus from going to the cross, One of the ways that he tried to allure him is found in Matthew 4:8. The devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Here, you can have all of this. Just don't go to the cross. Peter, writing to you and me, says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Pastor John Piper wrote these words, if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Your soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for the great. Behold the glory of God, saints. Behold the glory of God. I really believe that what I need to hear, what we need to hear, what the church needs to hear, and certainly what the world needs to hear, is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I really believe that God is calling many of you to change your focus and set your affections on things above. There are people in this world, people in the church who are caught among the thorns that Jesus spoke about in the parable of the sower. And you're getting choked and you're getting suffocated, or you're getting distracted by other messages, messages that are relevant to our life, messages that are important, but it's not the message. The prophet Jeremiah said to the people of God in the Old Testament, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out, cisterns, broken cisterns that can have no water. Again, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Beloved, when you and I choose to look into the face of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, when we face the Lord of glory, the shadows of our past and all of the guilt and all of the sin is behind us. Amen. It's behind us. He's taking care of it. Behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And as you behold him, he transforms you on the inside. You see, all of the issues that mankind is dealing with, our society is dealing with currently. Let me make it really simple for you. Let me break it down for you. All of society's problems are heart problems, sin problems, lordship problems. Abortion is a heart lordship issue. Racism is a heart lordship issue. Gun violence and robbery is a heart lordship issue. You can't legislate morality or change. Change only comes one way, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and that's the message you and I are to be preaching. That's it. The gospel of Jesus Christ changes everything. And my prayer and desire for this year's series, Beholding the Glory of God, is that in the days ahead, God would reveal to us as a congregation his glory. In our devotions, in our homes, in everything that we do. Because as we do that, he says, I will transform you, Koinonia. I will transform you on the inside. And you will begin to reflect my glory when you're singing, when you're gathered with your family for Christmas. May God give us and transform us with a God-glorifying, gospel-based affection for him and for one another and for the lost. Beholding the glory of God. Just a moment, our musicians are going to lead us in a song of praise and worship. And we'll have a time to just be still and think about God's glory. But perhaps There's some here this morning that have yet to surrender their life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I want to share something with you, because this is all about this Christmas, the Advent, the coming of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 3, we read the biblical account of the fall of man. And after the tragedy of Adam's disobedience to God's command to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we find the very first prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ to redeem us back to God and to destroy the works of the devil. And I spoke about the literalness of the book of Genesis and how Jesus quoted it verbatim. The fall of man, beloved, is just as literal as the rest of Genesis. Why is that important? Because without a real Adam, a real garden, a real serpent, there is no real reason to believe in a real Christ, a real cross, and a real resurrection. But our redemption in Jesus Christ is predicated upon a literal fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And in Adam, every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter if you drown in a bathtub or in an ocean. We all fall short of the glory of God. But interestingly, so typical of our God, after pronouncing the curse on the man, the woman, and the serpent, God announces the first gospel message of a coming seed who is going to reverse the curse itself. I just love it. As soon as man needs a word of grace and hope, they've fallen. God gives the word of grace and hope. And that grace and hope is not something. It's not religion. It's not the fig leaves of self-righteousness. It's the person of Jesus Christ. We read in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity or a hostility between thee, the serpent, and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It or he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." A reference, no doubt, to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross. I want you to note here, beloved, that the salvation of man will come through a virgin-born child, not just a young woman, a virgin-born child. God is speaking of the woman's seed, which she does not have. The woman has an egg that is fertilized by the male seed. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 7, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," God with us. God promised right back at the beginning of creation, after the fall of man, that the day is going to come when the woman's seed is going to bruise the serpent's head, and the head speaks spiritually of power and authority. And God promised that the seed of the woman is going to come to destroy Satan's power and authority over man. And in Galatians 3:16, that singular seed points to one man, the God-man, the virgin-born Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else. And salvation comes to all those who place their faith in Christ, the Lamb of God, who died on the cross of Calvary. And when he did that, he not only took away our sin, he also paid the full price to destroy the power and authority of Satan over our lives. And he rose again the third day. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the second part says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." In John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life more abundantly. I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Through faith in Christ, we've been redeemed out of the kingdom of darkness. We've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Through faith in Christ, you and I have victory this morning. We have victory. It's his victory. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night
for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.